This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
Yahweh Nissi, the Lord fights your battles for you. God bless you and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. This is Sherry, America's missionary messenger of truth. So America, let's hear God's message. Please open your King James Bible to the great book of Revelation, chapter 6, verse 9, where we left off last time. Chapter 6, Revelation, verse 9. Now, we left off last week with Jesus, the Lamb slain, opening the seven seals, which is a sign of the book, and telling John to write it in a book. And these seals are signs of the end. They are happening right now. Now, the first four seals we opened were a metaphor, figure of speech. And we've learned that we already have these signs. And they were mentioned and given in a picture as a symbol of horses. But see, a horse has power. And so it's talking about the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Apocalypse is Revelation. It means for you today, the four hidden dynasties that have taken over the world and most of America. They are political, economic, education, and last of all, and worst of all, religion. Now, Jesus wants you to know these seven seals, which is a sign of the end, so much that he also wrote them in Mark 13, Matthew 24, and Luke 21. So we have been cross-referencing Mark 13, and Jesus explains them in such detail there. So you might want to mark in your Revelation there, Mark 13, and you might even want to turn to this later on. So now we go to the fifth seal. Basically, the first four seals are signs, means that right now there is a lie-fly proverb going around that Jesus is coming to snatch everybody out of here, and he's going to deceive the world. It's not Jesus. The rider on the white horse has a tocsin bow, cheap fabric imitation. He's the devil with his Jesus costume. He comes first, and he deceives the people because he's going to say peace and safety, red horse, because there's a famine of the word of God, black horse, and because he's harvesting out of season, the pale green horse. And now we come to the fifth seal, sign.
Verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of men that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held.
All right. Now, this is the fifth sign. This means right up to our time that he lets us see all of those people who have died and been killed because they are Christians. All right. That would mean the Apostle Paul, would it not? And this same John the Revelator's brother James, remember he was killed? And how about Peter being crucified upside down? How about all the missionaries? That one was hung up there. We'll remember him. But more recently, ISIS lining up Christians and cutting their heads off because they would not reject Jesus. Now, we see those souls there, okay? This is a part of the fifth sign. It's happened, hasn't it?
10. And they cried with a loud voice, how long, O Lord, holy and true, wilt thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?
Now this gives us an interesting understanding of heaven. This means they can see us. How about that? And they see that ISIS is still capturing Christians and still killing them, and that other Christians throughout the world are being killed. They also see that the powers that be are trying to kill the truth from preachers' lips. In other words, we are not supposed to call good evil or evil good. Do you understand? Okay, so they can see us. Now, Paul tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, we are surrounded by so great a cloud, that means crowd is a figure of speech, of witnesses. In other words, we're in a foot race, and they're saying, come on, come on, don't stop now, endure to the end, make it to the end. And they see, these people see that ISIS is still killing Christians.
11 and white robes were given unto every one of them.
Now, when we get to Revelation 19, we're going to learn that your robe that you will wear for all eternity, if you have one, will be woven by the righteousness of saints. That means the righteous acts of saints. For every time that you get Jesus to someone, or the Word of God to someone, or do His work. But this shows us that if you are killed for Jesus' sake, you automatically get a full robe.
And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren, which shall be killed as they were, should be fulfilled.
All right, so Jesus says, remember, this is right now. He's telling John this and writing in a book right at our time. He says, wait just a minute. There are a few more going to be killed. We know that ISIS is capturing them every day. We also know, if you listen to the radio program yesterday, Antipas is going to be a martyr in one of the seven type churches, even the church deceived, who's going to be killed, and then two witnesses are going to be killed. So he says, wait just a little while. Now, Jesus explains this in Mark 13. You might want to write this by your fifth seal there. Mark 13, verses 12 and 13. Jesus said this, and brother shall deliver brother to death. The word brother there in the Greek has no gender, could be a sister, no, male or female. Death's name is the devil, Hebrews 2:14. So this means that the brothers and the sisters in the church who are deceived, remember half the church will be deceived and will accept the Antichrist as Jesus, they are going to turn us brothers and sisters in to Mr. Death, who is the devil with his Jesus costume on. You understand? To death. All right. And the rest of that Jesus said in Mark 13, 12 and 13, and father shall turn the son to death. Now, any of you who are fathers, you would never take your son to death. So it means the same thing. The father will see that his son is not, is not worshiping the fake one, because the father's deceived. And he'll say, Lord Jesus, my son doesn't believe you're Jesus. And of course, it's not Jesus. So he turns him in. That's how we're going to get turned in. And children shall rise up against parents and shall cause them to be put to death. Okay, you raised your daughter, you raised your son to go to church, to love Jesus, to read the Bible. But naturally, when they grew up, they knew everything and moved out and left the church, left the Bible. And of course, when they see this beautiful one coming and the whole world worshiping him, and he'll give them money if they'll worship him, they're going to think you, mama, are old-fashioned or brainwashed, and they're going to turn you in, and you too, daddy. Now, do not despair. This is God's plan. See, the devil doesn't know everything like our omniscient God. So, the church folks deceived are going to turn those of us who are not deceived in. The elect are only a very small group. Romans 11, Paul says 7,000. It's a small number. That's God's plan so that we can be delivered up to Satan, because the Holy Spirit then will speak through us. The whole world will hear, Acts 2, the language of everybody in the world, dialect. And Jesus says, and then the gospel shall be preached to the whole world. I mean, that's going to be it, right? It is God's plan. So see, God is going to use these people who are serving the devil. They don't mean it. They are deceived to turn us into him. But God's going to turn it for good, because we have a story to tell to the nations.
12.
Now we're going to come to the sixth seal, which is the sixth sign. Now before we go any further, let me explain this. There are seven seals, seven trumps, I'm going to explain those later, and seven vials. Seven is the number of God, it's of spiritual perfection, Jesus. Six in biblical numerics is a number of depraved mankind, in other words, Satan. Now everybody say six comes before seven. Six comes before seven. So here comes the sixth sign.
And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, And lo, there was a great earthquake.
All right. What does an earthquake do? An earthquake shakes. In Hebrews 12, Paul, by the whole inspiration of Holy Spirit, I believe he wrote Hebrews, said, at the end times, God says, I am going to shake earth, and I'm going to shake heaven. And everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Isaiah does it beautifully. He says it in Hebrew, and he says it's like God's going to shake heaven like shaking water out of a jug. The Hebrew word there is baka, baka, baka. It hurts my throat to say it. In other words, he's going to shake. Isn't everything shaken on the earth right now? Now, what this means is the shaking will be more in more detail in Revelation 12. That old dragon in Revelation 12 is the devil. Remember, he's got play actor name, serpent, dragon. What we're told is God is going to have Michael shake Satan out of heaven where he's held restrained bodily, and he's going to shake him out onto planet Earth. Satan is beautiful. Now, aren't you looking for Jesus to come in the sky? Of course you are. And Satan's going to land his feet in Jerusalem, calling himself God. So, there's no sneak preview of Jesus, is it? Everybody in the world will think it's God, even the Christians deceived, the shaking.
And the sun became as black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood.
Now this is a metaphor, an allegory, a figure of speech. We know that the half of the body of Christ has oil in their lamps. Oil brings light. Light is the truth, and truth is the word. In other words, he says, here at the end time, there is so little light. You have a, Jeremiah, he said, you got a church on every corner. I'm paraphrasing, in a temple. He said, but I call it a house of ill repute. Where is my word? So little truth, just little fragments of it, that you can hardly, there's almost no light left. There's almost no place where the truth is. Everything is a lie. That's the blackest sackcloth, okay? Understand, the light is covered over with a lie. And mostly that's that Thyatira church with that lie fly proverb. Remember Ezekiel 13, verses 17, 18, 19. God says, I'm against those who teach my people to fly to save their souls. Now, what about the moon to blood? In biblical analogies, when there are prophecies about Jesus or God, it'll say day. When it's prophecies about the devil, it'll say moon, M-O-O-N. So, there's the shaking. Revelation 12 says Michael is kicking the dragon, that's the devil, Antichrist, out of heaven. Beautiful, coming in the sky there. And the moon signifies, he's the moon, that's a prophecy, a symbol of him, to blood. You are man, and you have blood coursing in your veins. The Antichrist will be shaken out of heaven, the devil with his Jesus costume on, coming to earth, to man, coursing with blood coursing in your veins. Now, I want to give you a quick clue. When the real Jesus comes at the seventh seal, seventh trump, when Jesus comes, we're all going to change out of our flesh bodies into a spiritual body. In a moment, the twinkling of an eye, we shall all change. 1 Corinthians 15:52. So when this fake one comes, if you take a pin and you prick yourself and blood comes out, that's the moon to blood. That's the fake one. I just thought I'd give you that tip. So the moon shall turn to blood. Now, I know there's all kinds of first level teaching of the red blood moons and all of that. And that is a sign in a sense, but this has a deeper meaning. The devil is coming to earth to deceive man with blood coursing in your veins while you're still in the flesh. He wants you to call him God.
13, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs.
Now, stars in the manuscripts means children of God minus the flesh, angels. These are the fallen angels of Genesis 6 who refused to be born again, which means born from above, born of women. They came in and seduced the beautiful daughters of the man Adam and bore the giants. They have been held, the manuscripts in Jude tells us, in a place called Tartus. They also are coming back for one more play pretty. They are coming with Satan. And they're beautiful. They are gorgeous. Now, isn't Jesus bringing an army with him? Do you see, you understand the deceit here? Now, I want to tell you that these fallen angels are lookers. They're charismatic. They can con the socks off of a snake. Boy, are they smooth talkers. All you lonely Christian women begging for Mr. Right, look out. Because Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, he says, women have your head covered because of the angels. Not with hair, not with a hat, but with Christ, that you be not deceived. Because they're going to be preachers in the pulpit, preaching the gospel of Satan. And the deceived Christians will think it's the gospel of Jesus, because they will be saying that that one, their father, is Christ. Ah.
When she is shaken of a mighty wind. Cross-reference Mark 13:14-25.
Now you might like to turn to Mark 13 if you can get there quickly. If not, just make a note and I'll explain it. There is no teacher like Jesus. Again, I told you Jesus gave us these seals and signs and in Luke 21, Matthew 24, and Mark 13. In Mark 13, Jesus explains this. If you don't get it now, God bless you. I'll just hug your neck and say, you are hopeless. Here we go. Jesus is going to explain this.
But when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not.
Now that's Jesus. He is saying that. When you see this, he's talking about this. The word desolation there in the manuscript should read desolator. It's not a condition like an abomination. It's an entity. And Jesus brings Daniel into Mark 13 because Daniel said that the desolator, the Antichrist, the devil, will come in with wings flying through the sky. Wind song, okay, got it? Now, when Jesus said here, standing where it ought not, it is a mistranslation. Moffat said, reads and it says, he standing where he ought not. He who? The Antichrist, the desolator, the fake one, the first rider on the white horse, the sixth one, you understand? Okay, now, he's going to be standing. Paul tells us about this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul says that he will stand there in Jerusalem, calling himself God, standing where he ought not. Is everybody clear now who this is? Now let Jesus explain it more. We're explaining Revelation by Jesus himself in Mark 13.
And let him that readeth understand.
You're reading it. May the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. Some of you are coming out of Babel.
Let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains.
Okay, if you're there, don't you go and peer at him and listen to him. Run. Get out of Dodge.
And let him that is on the housetop not go down into the house. Do not enter and do not take anything out of his house.
Now, why would anybody be walking on the housetop? Well, you're supposed to elect your watchman on the wall. You're supposed to be watching these signs, these seals, these trumps. You're supposed to be watching out for your brothers and sisters. You're supposed to be watching out for mankind. So when you see this, don't go down there and take any of his doctrine or any of his lies. Don't even listen to him.
And let him that is in the field not turn back to take up his garment.
Jesus says, stay in the field, and Jesus says, the field is the world. So while we still have time, let us keep our garment, the robe of righteousness, the gospel armor on, and win as many souls as we can and warn them, and don't go there and get that cheap imitation fabric garment of the Antichrist.
But go to them that are with child and get sunk in those days.
Now this is a figure of speech and a metaphor, an allegory. Jesus loves women with little children. Now we know that a mother nourishes her child by feeding the child. When you and I win a soul to Jesus, and when I teach you the word, I am feeding you. It's like a mother with child, understand? Okay? So what he says here, woe to those with child, That means those people deceived, remember half the body, five are wise and five are foolish, no oil in their lamp, will worship the Antichrist. They do it in ignorance. They think it's Jesus, but it means they will be nurturing his work along. See, those brothers and sisters of the Christian church that are going to turn the elect in are doing the work of Satan, but they think they're working for Jesus. Do you understand? The mark in the right hand is a figure of speech, meaning you're doing the work of the devil. You understand? That's nurturing his work alone.
And pray that your flight shall not be in winter.
I love Jesus. He is so wise. He is the spirit of wisdom. Jesus put the word flight in there because he himself wrote Ezekiel 13, verses 17, 18, 19. I'm against those who teach my people to fly to save their souls. Jesus said, stay in the field. The field is the world. If you get taken, you've been had. Stay, be left behind. Jesus is coming here and never leaving again. Why would you want to fly away? So he says, but since you're going to fly away, you better wait and fly into my arms. Why summer? Harvest time is in summer. If you go to the first one, you've been harvested out of season. Like that pale horse, which means green, to ripe the green bananas. You go to the first basket, like Zechariah 5, and you've been harvested out of season by the Antichrist. Wait for summer. Wait for Jesus.
In those days shall be such affliction as has not been since God's creation.
Now, first of all, the Antichrist, in Daniel tells us, is coming in peacefully and safely, cause craft to prosper. That's why, you know, the peace is going to be a sign, because he's going to make peace. Everything's going to be right and great and craft to prosper. And everybody that worships him, those sons and daughters that have moved out of your home, they'll worship him because he'll give them money. Everybody's just got everything you need. And so there he comes. Now let's go on and see what else he says here.
And except that the Lord hath shortened those days, no flesh shall be saved.
So nobody is really being killed because he'd blow his cover. Remember, he comes in as Jesus. But the affliction is the few of us, the elect, 7,000, Romans 11. And it's not an exact number, it's just a ratio. The affliction is that if you aren't elect, you love people. You have compassion. You cry for lost people. You want people to be saved. And it just breaks your heart to see the brothers and sisters of the church. You know they love Jesus. They're all over the airwaves. They're everywhere. And you know they love Jesus. And your heart breaks for them because you know they've been deceived. What an affliction to see people you love and the world worship the devil when you know it's the devil and they think he's Jesus.
But for his elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days.
Okay. Now, in other words, Jesus says there's just so much browbeating, waterboarding you can take. It's not going to be the physical thing. If he cuts your head off, he'll blow his cover. But it's browbeating, trying to convince us he's Jesus. And so he says he's shortening it. Why? For the elect's sake, lest nobody be able to stand. Okay? Now let's see, what time is it? All of you have heard 7 years, right? It was 7 years. That's right. But when we got to Daniel, which was written long before Jesus wrote Mark 13, Daniel, it was reduced to times, times, and half times, 3.5 years. Now Jesus now, it's the first time God ever came in the flesh. He finds out what it's like to be in the flesh, and he knows we can only take so much. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So he says, I'm shortening for the elect's sake. 7 years is too long. 3.5 years is too long. I'm shortening for the elect's sake. Well, to what did he shorten it? Revelation 9. The king of the bottomless pit, there is the Antichrist. You want proof? His name is called Apollyon, and his name is called Abaddon. Apollyon is Greek, and it means perdition. There's only one son sentenced to perdition. Ezekiel 28, verse 17, 18, 19, Tyrus, Satan, has been sentenced to perdition, to turn to ashes from within and be no more. Abaddon, describing the king of the bottomless pit, means the destroyer, the desolator. Now, Two times it says in plain English in Revelation 9 that the time of the king of the bottomless pit, that's the Antichrist, Apollyon and Abaddon, defined that. That his time is 5 months. It says it in plain English. But that's not all. God gives us another clue. He speaks of the locust army that are with Satan. That's those fallen angels. It's symbology that come out with him. In the natural, the time of the locust is May to September. 5 months. There it is. Now in biblical numerics, 5 is a number of grace. By grace are you saved through faith. You can stand anything for 5 months. Hallelujah. I'd have clapped on that one.
And if any man saith to you, lo, here is Christ, he is there, believe him not.
Another one of the Gospels, Luke 21 or Matthew 24, Jesus says, somebody say, hey, isn't it great Jesus is here? He says, that's one time you don't try to convince him. You just say, aha, yeah, I got to go. Okay, wait and open your mouth when you're delivered up to Antichrist. That's your big moment.
For false Christ and false prophets shall arise to show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect.
Now the false prophets will be those fallen angels of the Phelim coming in the sky. They're going to be preaching in the what is called a great revival in the Christian church. See, everybody's praying for that, right? Because everybody will think Jesus is here. And of course they're going to be preaching, I am Christ is here. God's name is I am, but it'll be their father. False teaching right there. Now what about the word seduce? This word seduce is interesting because in the Greek it is exopatio. It is the same word as Paul used in 2 Corinthians 11 when Jesus said Satan beguiled Eve in the garden. Beguiled is exopatio, wholly seduced. There was the fornication in the garden, but you know there's a deeper fornication. To marry the devil with your spirit. That is really adultery, seduction.
Take heed, behold, I have told you all things.
Jesus says, now remember that, I'm warning you, I know you're going to get cold, I know you're going to hear everything else, and every preacher you go to, and every time you turn the radio, there's almost no one going to tell you the truth, but I just told you that. Pay attention, says Jesus. Oh, how he loves you, how he's warning you, children.
Revelation 6, verse 13, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, as a fig tree casteth her untimely fig, when she is shaken of a mighty wind.
Now, of course, that is in Revelation. They're the same thing as Mark 13. That's the fallen angel shaken out with him, coming for one last playtime.
13, and the heaven departed as a scroll.
Now comes the seventh seal, the seventh sign. Here comes Jesus.
When it is rolled together, and every mountain and every isle were moved out of their place.
Mountain means nations, and isles means government. It means that everyone who has any power over nations or governments, including the President of the United States of America, of Saudi Arabia, of Russia, everybody will relinquish their power. It'll be moved out of their place, and all power will be given to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, for his government, Jesus, shall be forever.
Amen. 15, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains,
commanders in chief,
the mighty men, and every bondman and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb.
Okay. Now, everybody who is deceived is going to be terrified. The Christians who really do love Jesus, but not enough to study every word of God. You've got to have your church sorority, haven't you, your fraternity. And you refuse to wake up and listen to every word of God. The Christians deceived because you really do love Jesus. When they see the real Jesus coming after the fake one, they realize what they've done. They have married the Antichrist, that first bridegroom coming. They're ashamed and want to, all mountains fall on us. We cannot face this Jesus that we loved so much. We went to church every Sunday, but we never heard every word of God.
17, for the great day of his wrath hath come, and who shall be able to stand?
You shall be able to stand because you have just heard the truth. The Antichrist comes first calling himself Messiah, and he is 6 and Jesus is 7, having done all to stand.
Mark 13, verse 26.
Now Jesus tells us the same thing, that he himself is coming back the second time. And you're going to hear me read a little bit of Mark 13 just before. It'll say, after this tribulation. In other words, it says it in plain English, after the tribulation of the Antichrist. Duh.
Parentheses, after that tribulation, parentheses. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels to gather his elect from the four winds of the uttermost part of earth and of heaven.
And we gather around him right here on planet earth. What about heaven? You see, there's been a remnant in every generation that has not betrayed God and did not in the first earth age. They are waiting. He's got an army. They are coming with him. Don't you know Paul and Peter are with him? How about Pastor Arnold Murray of Shepherd's Chapel? Maybe some of our loved ones. They are coming, and they are going to gather around the few of us who will not be deceived. The wife. That's what this is. Right here on planet Earth. Nobody's flying away. Hallelujah.
Now learn the parable of the fig tree.
Now, did you notice that's a command? Now, not to embarrass anyone who's live in here, but those of you out there in cyberspace, airland, if you know the parable of the fig tree, raise your hand. I see one. Maybe you're going to be the next president of the United States of America. I see you raising your hand there. Okay, here's the parable of the fig tree. It is a command by Jesus. If you do not learn this, you are in disobedience, so that's why you're not being blessed. Now you're going to hear it. It began in the Garden of Eden when the man Adam and Eve had sinned, and they made an apron, notice apron, not a bib, of fig leaves to cover where they had sinned. They were in a fig grove. They did not make a bib to cover any juice around their mouth because the fruit was a symbol of forbidden fruit. They were not to be seduced by Satan, but they were. Then in Jeremiah chapter 24, we have an analogy of a basket of good figs and a basket of bad figs. The good figs are the children of God. In this particular case, the tribe, the house of Judah, Benjamin and Judah. But we have the bad fig who say they are Judah but are not, but a synagogue of Satan. Now remember Revelation 2:9 and Revelation 3:9. There are only two type churches at the end time that please Jesus, and they tell you who these are. Okay, I'm both of those churches. Here's what they who they are. K-E-N-I-T-E-S, Kenites, descendants of Cain, Cain the child of the devil. See, they are going to be, they're preparing the world right now so you will be deceived by Satan. They have destroyed America. They are the ones in charge of the four hidden dynasties. Now you heard it here. Okay, let's continue.
When the branch is yet tender and put it forth leaves, you know that summer is near.
Now Jesus continues to teach you the parable of the fig tree. Israel is called the fig tree in the Minor Prophets. Jesus says in 1948 that shoot was set out. The nation Israel became a nation again. Remember, there are 12 tribes. They are split. The house of Israel, the larger bulk is in America. The house of Judah is in Israel. They became a nation again. So Jesus says that that is the sign of the end. And he's about to tell us that anyone from 1948 on up will usher in first the Antichrist and the second coming of Jesus. You are the generation of the fig tree. How long is a generation? 40 years? 70 years? 80 years? 100? 120?
So in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass.
These things we just been teaching you. Jesus has been teaching us in Revelation and verifying them in Mark 13.
Know that it is near, even at the door.
The end is very near. God took me into heaven and spoke to me and said, the end is very near.
And this generation shall not pass until all these things be fulfilled.
You are the generation of the fig tree, be you 5 months or 105.
Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word endureth forever.
It reads there, the heaven age and the earth age shall pass away, but the word shall dwell forever. Remember, Peter tells us, 2 Peter 3, 6, right on in there, there are three earth and heaven ages. It's the same planet, the same heaven, but a different dispensation of time. There was the first heaven and earth age when Satan rebelled, and that's what got us into this trouble. We were in a spiritual body, but Satan said, I will be God, and it brought sin into the equation. Now we're in the second earth age, and all of this is going to happen. And then at the end of the millennium, God is going to bring the heavenly Jerusalem down and get rid of all the evil, rejuvenate this planet, and the third heaven and earth shall pass away. So all of these ages pass away, but the word of God shall dwell forever. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. His name is called the word of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we have, yes, hallelujah. We have the seven signs now. It's going to get really interesting because the trumps are going to bring the action. We're going to find when we get to the trumps that we're already in the fifth one and the sixth one's about to happen. And guess who that is? That's old Mr. Sixth Seal. That's the Antichrist. So see, we're right up to date. Now, for all of you who are not sure you're saved, I want you to come and live with me on heaven on earth with Jesus and not be deceived. Please pray this prayer with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I have sinned.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
I believe
that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please
wash away my sins with the blood of Jesus. Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your
word.
And
use me
to enlarge your territory.
I am yours, Lord Jesus.
Here am I.
Send me.
I will.
Thank you.
I love you.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Now in a moment, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number. If you prayed that prayer, I invite you to call me and tell me that you were saved. Now for anyone who is sick, Father, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, I ask that the Holy Spirit of the living God go forth even into the ether waves. And Jesus, you are not limited by distance. I ask, O Son of Righteousness, you will arise with healing in your wings. I ask you to touch where kidney stones were. And I ask you to heal that scar tissue. I ask where missing body parts are, you'll put them back. I ask that people will get up off their deathbed. I ask that dead Christians will come alive and shout. I ask there be a rejuvenation in the body of Christ, an awakening. Oh, not a sick church, not a dead church, not a lame church, not a weak church, but a vibrant, happy church alive in Jesus' name. Oh, body of Christ, we're the body. Jesus is the head. Body, come alive because the head is not dead. Oh, Father God, raise the dead and heal the sick. Oh, be healed in the mighty name of Jesus. I invite all of you to come over to my school Sundays, 5 p.m., Wednesdays, 6:30 p.m., Word and Prayer. And feel free to call me for prayer or to ask a question, to tell me you were saved, or just to tell me you love me, tell me you enjoy my program. I need encouragement too. I encourage you. Where's your encouragement? God bless you. Now listen, I want you to remember that you got a mission. You're not here about fun. I want you not to let one day go by without trying to reach somebody for Jesus. Make it your goal. You say, but I work. Well, so do I. You ought to see it. You just put God first and weave that bridal gown that you're going to wear. Now remember this about Yeshua Jesus. His name is called the Word of God. And Jesus says in John 17:17, Thy word is truth. You have heard the truth here today. It was spoken twice by Jesus in Revelation Mark 13 through this humble handmaiden. If you're deceived now, have mercy on your soul. I love you. God bless you. And God willing, I'll see you next time.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
Faith. that can make the mountains move, and a love that can make the heavens ring. And I've seen love make heaven ring. Where the secret rivers meet beneath the shadow, the keeper of the plains, I feel the thunder in the sky. I see the sky about to rain, and I hear the prairies calling out your name. Oh. Time may never know, a time may never know, how the Lord takes by its corners this whole world and shakes us forward and shakes us free, to run wild with the hope, to run wild with the hope. The hope that this thirst will not last, I see the sky about to rain, and I hear the prairies calling out your name. And I know this thirst will not last long, that it will soon drown in a song not sung in vain. And I feel the thunder in the sky, I see the sky about to rain, and with the prairies I am calling out your name.
Great is our faithfulness to me. a change in this man's life. Everything I was doing wrong, I start over doing right. All my friends say, when they see me, they say, man, you sure look different. You ain't like you used to be. I can't take no credit. It's got nothing to do with me. Capital J, little bit of E, all about a shoe. Ain't gonna keep it no mystery, keeps keeping my sense. I learned to be me and not be fake. I learned to give a whole lot more instead of being on a take. And I don't talk like I once did. No, I don't use them words you shouldn't say in front of little kids. I can't take no credit. Got nothing to do with me. Yeah. And if you want to know about this change about, give me just a minute. I'm gonna spell it out. I said capital J with a little bit of E, followed by an S U S. Ain't gonna keep it no mystery. He's a key to my success. Capital J. Just got to do what my Lord does. I don't claim to be perfect, but I'm better off than I was. And if you want some, I got, then all you do is say the word, and he'll change you on the spot. You won't take no credit. You're gonna feel the same as me. I guess you will now. When I ask what the change is all about, you'll only take a minute to spell it out. You say capital J with a little bit of E, followed by an S U S. Ain't gonna keep it no mystery, he's the key to my success. Capital J, hey, with a little bit of E, followed by an S-U-S. Ain't gonna keep it no mystery, he's the key to my success. Capital J, hey. Replace wrong with right.
creatures. Truth is narrow, and the gate is narrow that it passes through. He unleashed his power at an unknown hour. And no one knew. How long can I listen to the lies of prejudice? How long can I stay drunk on fear out in the wilderness? Can I cast it all aside, all this loyalty and pride? Will I ever learn that there'll be, no peace, that the world will never cease until he crown on this blood-stained ground? Take off your mask, 'cause it sees your deeds and it knows your needs even before you ask. How long can you falsify and deny what is real? How long can you hate yourself for the weakness you can see? Of every earthly plant that been known to man, he is unconcerned. 'Cause he's got plans of his own to set up his throne when he returns.
Sail